Joanne, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Mary Ann. Can you hear me? Mary Ann, can you hear me?
Okay, honey. I'll call you back.
Okay, bye. Can you hear me? Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh. Yes, I can hear everybody. I hope you can hear me.
Speak up a little bit, maybe, Keith.
Who's that?
Can't hear you, Keith.
I'm doing this. This is...
Hello?
Keith, you're mute.
Unmute yourself.
Unmute yourself.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
Okay, Keith is unmuted. Chris, okay. CQ, please unmute okay. yourself. Chris, you need to unmute yourself. Okay, good. Can you hear me, Chris?
Yes, I can hear you. Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Great, thank you.
Do we have enough people to start the meeting? 1:30.
You have a quorum.
We do?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
I don't know if Jack Emmerich is on.
Yes.
Okay, then you have a quorum.
Okay. So let's go ahead and get started. Hopefully everybody can hear me.
Yes, sir.
Okay. September 14th, 2020 at 1:30 PM, 1:31 PM, we'll start the meeting at Port Malala Holiday Park, Mobile Home Park, Recreational District. I'll call a meeting to order. Our first thing is to go ahead and do the Pledge of Allegiance, please, everybody. And it started
I pledge
off.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sherry, are you there? Sherry? No, Sherry.
All right, I'll call the roll.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Joe Prisco?
Here. Yeah.
Russ Livermore. Mary Ann was on. She should have been here. Jack Emmerich.
He was there. Jack.
Here.
Keith Richer.
Yes.
Bob Shortledge.
Here.
Cheryl Moore. We don't have her.
She's here.
She is?
She's yep. here.
Oh, she's here now.
Is she on?
Yes.
She should be.
Okay.
Sherry, unmute yourself. She stepped away. Here she is. Sherry, can you unmute yourself, please?
I don't see her as mute.
I'll continue with the roll call. Bev, Barbara Whitnick is not here, and Bev Elias is here.
I'm here.
Let's go back. Is Russ Livermore? What happened to him? He's not on?
I can see him. He just muted.
All right.
Unmute yourself, Russ.
I'm here.
Okay, and Cherie Morris is here?
Here.
Okay. All right, now Cheryl Moore, you could take over. I'll give you this later.
Okay, well, so let's start off with Poolshore Chemical Dispenser presentation. Chris, are you on there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. A couple of questions just before we start off, and then you can give your thing. We already have a contract, you, correct? We have a contract.
Correct.
Okay. And that basically what will happen is our contract will increase by $100 per month if we go with this new device that you're talking about. You then tell us about.
Yes. Yeah, I was reached out to by Jose and Cherie because the controllers that you have, they're becoming costly to keep updated.
Okay. Now, the one thing I wanted to ask you is when I talked to you, you said that we only needed one CPO person here at the park to make it a legal issue for the state of Florida.
Correct.
We don't need two or three or four, right?
Correct. To the letter of the law or the code, you need a CPO certification on property that represents the property.
Okay, so and now property. So the certifications expire they last 5 years, isn't that correct? 5 years,
correct.
Okay, so how soon do you suggest us getting ours is good until June 25th, 2022. So when do you suggest us looking to get another certificate by?
You could, if you already have one intact right now, you can let that go until the beginning of 22. And then at that point, put a schedule. You can contact us directly as we do provide CPO instructors and courses.
So there's no need for us to be going out to get more POs at this point. We have two right now.
Correct. If you have more.
And you did suggest when I talked to you that we should have two. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it would be a smart thing because if you have one that's off the property and yes, you're relying upon his CPO certification, but him not being on the property and they say there was an incident that happened, you're kind of left high and dry. If you have two, then
right. So the CPO certificate is that by law supposed to be posted in our office, or it could just be in a file somewhere?
It can be in a file somewhere as long as.
Okay, so it doesn't have to be posted. All right.
No, not the actual certificate. The pool certificate, the pool permit, or the operating permit, that usually is required to be posted in a place of visibility. Mm-hmm. Somewhere
now, the city of Palm Bay issues that?
Yes.
Pool permit?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll just have to make sure that that's posted then.
So I'm at the ends.
I have a question. I have just one question.
Yeah, go ahead.
If somebody has to be on the property with that CPO certification, will two people be enough for us if we have that pool open 7 days a week? My question is to Cherie.
Yes, I think we should probably have another. Earl is certified and so is Jose. Earl's not a real hands eye. Can you hear me?
Yes, so but what days of the week do they work?
Jose works Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Jose works Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Earl works Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
So Earl works 5 days a week.
He does.
So it's covered.
Yes. I was instructed several months ago to have others certified, so I did register two of the staff, myself included, and Lou to take the class, but if it's not needed, then that's fine with me.
Who told you to go ahead and do that? A trustee or another person?
A trustee.
So a trustee told you to go ahead and have five people instead.
No, it's not five people, Joe.
Well, it would have been five. It would have been five.
I was the one who had suggested that someone else be registered.
Okay.
I did not know that. Well, I didn't know that Earl was, because I was told that Earl was not qualified to do it.
He does have a certificate. So
I did not know that.
I did talk to Chris, and he said that, you know, if they need some clarification, that his company would provide that. Isn't that correct, Chris?
Yes, absolutely.
So we don't have an issue. There is no issue. So if he has an, and I did tell Earl about that, if he has a problem, Chris's company can provide some, you know, some refresher training for him. So we, till he gets it right and doesn't make an error.
Absolutely. So we're about education. That's one of our four, main points is education and making sure the operators are educated on all the equipment.
May I ask where is your company located and how long have we had a contract with you?
Houston, Texas is our, it's our headquarters. Right. I'm actually in Claremont, Florida. So I'm here. I'm a Floridian. I reside here, but it, the company started, gosh, over 20 some years ago here in Florida, but our headquarters is based in Houston.
And how long have we had a contract with you, with your company?
And gosh, I mean, I can pull it up. I go into our CRM system, but I was seeing dates back, I know back in 2016, but I know it goes further than that, I believe.
Cherie, do you know, Cherie?
It's been 6 years, approximately.
Okay.
I guess Anderson, Mr. Anderson was the person who initiated the contract with your company.
Okay. It's a good 6 years.
Can we start the the presentation now, please?
Sure.
The presentation. What presentation?
Go ahead and present the screen. And what I'll do, it actually is saying the host has disabled attendee screen sharing. So at the moment, I'm blocked from sharing the screen.
I can hear you. Can everybody else
hear you?
Yeah,
we can hear you. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I know you can hear, but you won't be able to see my screen.
Oh.
And I want to share the screen, but when I go to do that, it, there's a host. Whoever is the host of the meeting can disable. Can disable the.
I'm looking to see what I can do for you, Chris.
No problem.
I can see him.
And he said
I don't understand.
He wants us to see his screen.
We're going to share the screen.
He's going to show us data.
Yes.
He's going to show us data on his screen. So we'll see it on our screen.
Okay. I'm going to, I don't know if I can do that. It's. Yes. I'm sure that it's capable. We're capable of doing it. I just don't know how.
How about this, Kathy? Know how?
I can help you out.
No.
Okay, Chris, can you tell her how to do it?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now to see if I can give you an idea of where to go. It's going to be in your settings somewhere. Because I'm not the host, I'm not looking at a host screen, but
maybe you could just give us an overall view of why you think we need this contract and how it's going to be beneficial to us. I think that would be, that would suffice.
Okay.
Okay. I'm looking here and it says share screen. If I hit share, I don't know if I can click on the individual or not.
Alt S.
Do I want to experiment right now?
Yeah, if you can, you can do that. And you're sharing your screen right now. So
we lost you.
Right. So.
Right. I don't know what I just did. This is not good.
That's okay. You shared your screen, so you can cancel that out.
I just lost everybody.
Hold on 1 second.
All right, we're back. I'm not going to mess around with it, Chris. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Why don't you go ahead with your explanation, Mrs. McHugh?
No problem.
Let him press that. Share screen.
I am, and when I do, the host is disabling me from attending from a attendee screen sharing. So in other words, the attendees, which we are, can't share our screens. So there's a setting that they need to change. I'd love to share the screen with you because you'd be able to see it, but that's fine.
Put a question in.
And if you, and Cherie, if you figure that out in your settings, you can just hit that and let me know, and then I can quickly click it over.
Well, I don't think that's going to work, Chris, because I don't want to lose the meeting, and I really don't know a lot about that stuff, and I'm really afraid that's going to happen. So if you can just give your explanation without the screen, that would be fine.
Well, that's what I'm doing. So Poolshore, real quick, a brief summary of the company. Poolshore falls under the umbrella of our company, Aquasol. Aquasol is the manufacturer of the chemistry controllers that maintain water chemistry in your swimming pool. So we are the OEM. We are the manufacturers of those controllers. The controllers you have on there now are not our controllers, but we have still provided you with a pseudo water management where we were supplying chemicals and basically just providing chemicals for one price per month. So it's streamlined budget for you. The issue comes in is you're not taking advantage of the rest of the program, which includes all the control equipment, all the feeders, the feed lines, the containers, the tubing. All that is part of a true water management program. So there are no extra expenses. And Jose and or Sheree had reached out because the controllers you did have on the pools, those were purchased by you from a long time ago. Those are not our units, right? So again, we just provided kind of a pseudo water management where we discounted it out. Really, the discount is very minimal, or the discount or the change in price is very minimal. We come in now and provide still exactly what we provided, providing all the chemicals and delivery of all the chemicals. But we're also providing now the control systems with the feeders, with the lines, with everything needed for a true comprehensive water management. And what that means is all of our equipment, since we are the manufacturer, and by the way, we are the only manufacturer in the United States that provides water management service. So in other words, if you have a controller on your pool, it's not ours, then it's a third party. A company purchased it and put it onto your property and sold it to you somehow. We're not selling you our controllers. What we're going to do is we're going to actually put the controllers on and we're going to maintain them with your help because you're on property as CPO. We're going to train your people to use the controllers. But the best thing about it is all these controllers that will be on your pool and spa are web-based monitored. Now, that means all of your pool operators will receive alerts if there's any kind of water chemistry change that needs to be addressed. And I always like to look at it as there's four alerts. Two of them are kind of precursor alerts, which alert you that, hey, we may be starting to have a problem. So you can get to it, but the controller is still trying to correct the chemistry issue. But if you ever receive a feed limit or a flow alert, which is what it would go to if it was unattended, then it needs the operator there to make a correction. In other words, a pump broke, a line broke, or we ran out of chemical in a small drum, something of that nature. The other piece of this is, adoption of new technology is real big for us. You're going to have access to a customer portal, which is what I really want to show you on a screen, but that's okay. I can do that another time. Where that gives you insight to everything with your pool. All the chemistry readings from every one of our techs that come out, the amount of chemical that's on property, your chemical tanks, when they get to a certain level, they automatically call and dispatch a truck out to make the delivery because your price doesn't change. Remember, it's a flat rate for streamlined budgeting. So you're able to see the tech calls, what they did, the chemistry readings, and go back and trace everything back in the cloud as far as you want. And in that as well, you can even put requests in for, I need some service, or, hey, I need you guys to look at a pump because it's down, or you can type that right in there. But you can always call 1-800-858-7665, which is pool, 1-800-858-POOL, and talk to a customer service rep and do the same thing.
Is that 7 days a week?
Yes, it is, 24/7 customer support.
Okay.
During the week, of course, you're going to speak with, so you can speak with somebody directly. They'll give you a reference number to whatever your request is. Mm-hmm. And during the weekends, if you email that in, you'll immediately get that same reference number, not same, but a reference number. And then you'll be followed by a person calling you to let you know when the technician is going to be out or when the delivery is going to be made.
So can I ask quickly, right now, would it take a human being to physically go to see that the chemicals were low or that there was something wrong? Is that how we're not alerted? We just have to, we have to physically have someone go to see, oops, we need this, that, or the other thing?
That's correct. So the controller is, it's not anything new. The technology's been around a while. It's called oxidation reduction potential, ORP. So if I get on my soapbox of teaching because I'm an instructor, then just kick it out from under me. But ORP pH control will control the chlorine levels and the pH levels of the pool. But the pool still needs to be maintained, filters cleaned, tiles cleaned, vacuumed, adjustment of alkalinity, adjustment of calcium. Those little things every now and then need to be adjusted. That's all provided. All the chemicals are provided. But that's where it requires the operator to be adding that, to be making those kind of corrections. What they're going to want to call us for is if there's ever an issue with a pump, if there's ever an issue with the controller not reading correctly, if they have a hand test reading of this and the controller says something completely different, those are issues where we fully cover that. One of your major expenses in having the controllers on the pools right now are the sensors or probes. There's a chlorine probe and there's a pH probe. That's what's doing the testing of the chlorine and pH 24/7. Those are $300 to $400 a piece. And from what I understand, you've replaced those. You've had to replace those, which is it's a wear thing. So you're going to replace them after a year or two, put new ones in. So you spend money on that right now currently. In our program, all those costs are gone because we provide all that, because we are the manufacturer. We're able to do that financially. We're able to make that work. So when our tech comes out, because you called us because there was something quirky or an alert light on the controller, or you got an alert on a text, when our tech comes out, he does an assessment, and he realizes, you have a bad pH probe. He'll replace the pH probe. That just saved you $400. There's no cost with that. We also do a preventative maintenance once a year. At the beginning of each year, we change the feed lines, the tubes, check all that. But remember, we include the tanks and the tank monitors, customer portal, and all that.
That's not currently in your contract with us?
That is not currently in the contract with you, because we did, again, a pseudo water management, which was kind of just a chemical supply on the basis of those controllers that were on there. But if you ever called us to service those controllers, it wouldn't be part of your contract. So for the additional, it's $50 a controller. For the additional $50 per month per controller, you're getting access to web-based control, alert notifications, everything else.
I have two questions for you, please.
Yes, sir.
One, do we have alerts now for a chemical imbalance on the pool, or is that just every time they test, they see if it's imbalanced or not?
To my understanding, anytime they test, if it's imbalanced, then they make that correction.
So right now, we don't have an alert that this new system would alert us at the proper time, at the right time, at the beginning of when we're going to have a chemical imbalance?
Right. Your controllers now, which are not ours. Your equipment there now, which is not ours. Yeah, I do not believe. I'm very familiar with it because I know Beck Systems, and that's what you have out there. Because I've been in the business 25 years, and years ago I worked for that sub-distributor of Beck's. But you guys, right now are not taking, you don't have that.
Okay. We don't have those alerts. And will our CPO add chemicals or test the water anymore? Or will that be all be done by your machine?
No, they will test the water. Certainly. It's a requirement as a certified pool operator, they'll be testing the water at least once a day in the state of Florida.
Okay, so they have to do that, but if we get a chemical imbalance, this new alert will let us know right away that there's an imbalance.
Correct. What I was saying before about the four alerts, you have a high and low alerts. Okay, you can have a high or low, you have a high pH alert that's sent. If the operator receives a high pH alert, that does not mean the controller is not controlling. It's still trying to make the correction, so it's adding some acid, it's trying to make the correction. So it's not like the operator has to drop everything he's doing and run there now. But after a period of 3 hours, if it has not made that correction, if it has not made the balance out, At that point, he's going to receive a feed limit alert. Feed limit alert requires attention, human attention.
So what you're saying, what I'm hearing right now is if he would test it, let's say at noontime, and at 1 o'clock, we would start to have an imbalance. We wouldn't know until the next day when he tested it at 12 o'clock that there was an imbalance.
In your current setup?
Yes.
Yes. If
currently,
you don't,
Bob, we've been testing the pool twice a day.
Right.
Okay, but what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to make a point that he's talked about an alert, which to me is going to let us know right away when there is a problem instead of like twice a day, somebody saying, and that actually the imbalance was 3 or 4 hours ago.
Correct. So those alerts, those two alerts, the high and lows that I'm telling you about, they're like, I call them preemptive alerts. They're the warning shot saying, hey, you may want to pay attention to this, but the controller might be able to correct it. It probably will be able to correct it,
right,
and it'll go away. But if it doesn't, look for the feed limit to pop up. And if that pops up, now it's going to take immediate attention because the controller is no longer controlling.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
So the difference, if I may ask, the difference between the contract we currently have and the one that's being proposed comes to another $100 per month?
That's correct.
Or $1,200 a year.
Plus, you need to remember that he also pointed out that these things are going to be covered. So if they break, there's no cost.
Right. That's a big difference.
That's a big difference.
Can I go one more time back to Cherie? Do we have coverage on Wednesday when you gave us 5 days for Earl? But who was there on Wednesday? I don't recall that.
We don't have a CPO for Wednesday, no.
Could I ask a question here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Basically, kind of just repeating stuff. Are you putting in new equipment?
Yes.
Okay, and that equipment will all be yours, and you will maintain it for the cost of the chemicals plus the $50 per pool for all the stuff. So basically, our pool, what will we have to pay for, like decks and cleaning and stuff? We won't pay. The fee covers any water circulation equipment, any chemicals, and any maintenance of the equipment. So if anything has to be replaced.
Anything to do with the water chemistry equipment, it's all our equipment, and we will incur the cost of it. We do need the partner on your end, the operator. We want to train him on it and to let him know when he should be calling us and when he can
We need somebody on our end that knows what you call them, CPOs or whatever. I don't know.
Certified pool operator. Yes.
When you do your training, will that training give them the license we were looking at, maybe the other, or do they need to be that separate, right?
You know, we can provide CPO training as we have instructors on staff, but training of the equipment and knowing how to, you know, recognize it, use it, which is going to be minimal because it's very self-explanatory.
So you give us a training for maintaining the equipment, but you can provide the CPO training also.
Yes, sir.
But that would be a cost. Okay.
Yeah, and that would be, and you're discounted as a customer. You're greatly discounted, so it's half off your typical CPO course, which is $300.
Our CPO guy basically doesn't do anything unless there's an alert, or do they test it every day anyway?
Once a day.
Oh, no, they test it every day, to test at least once a day. And Cherie said they test it twice, which is great.
And they will clean.
Clean. So all the labor, so all the filter cleaning, towel cleaning, vacuuming,
okay,
testing the water.
The only cost we would have with the pool is if we want to put in a new pool or do some deck work or something like that. Not your machine.
Right, renovations. If your circulation pump goes down, needs to be replaced. Your heater needs to be replaced. And we have a full service and repair department, so you can call us the same number.
But now what pump were you talking about going out?
Well, like the filter pump.
System. Dust it all the time.
The filter pump, the filter, the heater, lights.
You don't have the filter in your system. It's just a chemical.
No. Yeah, we're providing a water management program. So we're providing all the equipment for the water management. That means chemistry. So anything to do with your chemistry, the controller, the feeder pumps, the lines, the containment for the chemicals, all that is part of the water management.
So yeah. Biggest thing being control. So the filter is where it drains off and gets, our people would clean that. If that filter goes bad, we've got to replace that and the circulation pump.
That's how it always has been, yes. I mean, filters are filters.
I know the answer is probably 80% of what I'm talking. I just like to repeat it.
I can tell.
You've got a good understanding of what goes on here.
Of course.
Now, Chris, I have called Carrie Greiner.
Greiner, yes.
Greiner, I've called her. I left 3 messages because we were actually registered to take a CPO class here in Melbourne.
Yeah.
I will be canceling that. However, like I said, I've left her 3 messages. Do your pool classes, are they held in Melbourne?
We do them all over the state. And the issue, of course, as you know, with COVID, they've transitioned into a Zoom CPO course now, right? Like this, which is a little more difficult because Florida state regulation is the toughest from a commercial pool standpoint in the United States. Like in
so Texas, if I had another staff member that we wanted to become a CPO certified pool operator, that wouldn't be a problem to have him or her certified.
No, it would not.
On Zoom?
It's just, there's a little bit of a delay in this for any CPO certification instructor, which there are a lot of different instructors, but there's a delay with this COVID and doing the Zoom COVID CPO training. And I'll get with Carrie on it because Carrie is, she's our scheduler when it comes to CPO training. I'm an instructor, but I don't instruct anymore because.
Okay. I was going to finish up here a little bit. So I just was wondering because we budgeted $20,000 for pool supply and pool the circulation and stuff. And mm-hmm. I've done the numbers on what you're charging chemicals and the $50 basically runs to about a little under $16,000 a year. So we do have a surplus in the budget to take care of that. I just wanted to know, Cherie, what above what he's providing would we have to take care of out of our pool and supply budget?
Like he had mentioned earlier, the filters are not included. That would be just our responsibility to clean, maintain, replace as necessary. It's not a big expense, but with his system, we are eliminating a lot of calls from Brevard pools, troubleshooting things that this system we have now is not able to handle. So this is quite exciting to me. A lot less maintenance. And very and efficient because we had a problem where the chlorine was just gushing into the pool and we didn't know. With this system here, we will be notified either immediately through the email system or mm-hmm. on the iPhones, whichever ones we're set up with mm-hmm. with his system. Mm-hmm. Am I correct, Chris?
You are correct, yes.
And just to kind of finish up then, so would we keep the same system if we decided to rebuild pools and put new pools in?
If you're going to add a pool, of course, you'd have to add another controller. But yeah, you would know what we would do is we would use the same systems. Yes. Yeah.
What he's talking about, Chris, is sooner or later, the pools will have to be replaced probably another 4 to 5 years. I don't know for sure the exact time frame. Okay. He's just asking, you know, is this going to be able to facilitate in the future?
Yes, transferable easily, yes.
And just one more thing. We spent well over $20,000 on this last year, and this looks like it would hold it way, a sure way of holding it below $20,000 pretty easy. So
absolutely.
I just wanted to get that stuff clear that, yeah, it seems like a really good system and stuff to look at.
Thank you, yeah. The customer portal is going to offer up quite a bit of information, so you'll be able to gather a lot from that.
The only thing I would add, which really isn't on that, is I just think all of our custodians should be qualified as possible on anything. So when anybody's there, we have somebody there on duty to do it. And it's a small price to pay as a bonus for our employee to have that service and mm-hmm. things like that. And plus it covers our butts.
Really it behooves us. We work on efficiency, and that's why that's how we're able to keep our prices at the rate they are. Plus we're the manufacturer of the unit, and there are no other manufacturers that provide the service. So there's a huge difference in cost from that standpoint.
I think at least one more staff, my opinion, one more staff should be certified.
I agree. Can I ask a question about the
physical I'm listening to you guys. Of the...
Yes, ma'am.
What's going on, Bill? Because I just started listening in right now.
Oh.
Helen has to be.
Yeah. Helen's on.
Okay.
There she goes. Go ahead, Cheryl.
I was just wondering about the machines themselves. I read in the paperwork that we were given that they would be, the equipment would be repositioned and stuff. So you've been here and looked at the space that we have, and everything will fit in and not be an enormous eyesore.
That's correct. Yeah, we.
Okay.
No, it's a very good question, of course, because we do a pre-survey. We do a survey, and then we do a pre-survey from our technicians. So they plan everything out. It's well above state codes. And from a cosmetic standpoint, it's all, we go over that with you. The how we're set up right now is not going to change from the chemical containment standpoint, because we've been doing that already. So really it's just the equipment, which is the internal equipment inside of your areas, which no one sees except your operators. So
would you expect us to use fewer chemicals with the controllers with your controllers because they are so automatic?
Yeah, so
is that something that we could expect?
The general rule of thumb, a pool without a controller or a pool with a controller, will save you 30% in chemical usage and 30% in chemical consumption. Now, when you add the fact into that you have web-based alert notifications, enabling you to respond to something before you're responding to the little leaf fire and preventing from becoming a forest fire, right? So that's exactly what the alerts are all about. So yeah, you can assume you're going to save even greater than 30%.
What would happen to our old controllers that we apparently own? Is that something that we would have to consider?
We'll see this next week, babe.
Helen.
Who's talking?
Helen.
I don't know what's happening, but I'm trying to keep it muted. Yes, in answering that question, we will keep all of the old equipment.
Yes, it's your equipment.
That's right.
So is that it? We can go ahead and vote.
Yeah.
So. I make a motion that we accept this contract.
Thank you, Keith. I'll go ahead and second it because it sounds like a good deal to me. It's a $100 increase per month, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Two pools are covered and we're notified of everything. So okay, so I got we put it to a vote. Everybody in favor, say yes.
No comment.
Yes, aye.
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 Anybody no that disagrees, say no.
Did you want public comment on this?
I think when we're going to wait to the end, because we got like eight things here. You want? It's up to you. Before we waited to the end.
You need to, after the motions, you need to have the comment.
Public comment.
Debate.
Oh, we've never done it that way since we've been doing Zoom, guys. You do know that.
But remember, did you count them? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Did you count the amount of things? 9 more after this.
Thank you.
The way we did it was we waited to the end. And if we need to reverse something, we could reverse.
Before you do the vote, because after the vote, there's no use commenting on it.
Okay, whatever you want to do. So you want public comments after each one. We're going to be here at 5 o'clock. Okay, go ahead.
Not be.
Yeah, no, you will be.
This is only about chemicals.
It's 9 more. 9 more. Nine more.
Well, a minute shouldn't take long, so there's a lot of those.
Unless you're saying to go out for public comment.
Let's stop this and ask if anybody has a comment on this business so we can get on with it.
Right. Any comments? We voted yes. Any public comments then? Sheree, do you see any comments?
I'm looking for the hands. At the bottom of the screen, there's a prompt, and it will tell you to raise your hand if you have. Okay, Jamie Welsh. Unmute yourself, Jamie.
No, hey. I was just hitting the button to get a gallery.
Oh, make sure it works. Okay.
No comment.
Okay. There's no other comment. You can that's passes.
That's passed. So we'll go on to.
Can I just say I'll take minutes from now? I don't know who started minutes, but I'm here. Do you want me to take over?
Yeah, you take minutes.
Chris, thank you so much for attending and
of course
on the whole system.
All right, man. Talk to you later. Love you.
I will send you a PDF of the presentation so you can share with everybody so they can see it for themselves.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris.
Take care, everyone.
Thank you, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Chris. Okay, some things I want to bring up. Cub Cadet sold for $500. We got $500 cash. Sheree had a $650 offer for the fuel tank. Sheree, did you go back out to him for the $700? I said to ask
him. I did, and he countered us at $650.
Oh.
Well, said six. I spoke with Bob. I think it was you, Bob, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
$700, so he came back at $650. He's the only person that has responded to the ad.
I guess we'll ask the board, do we want to sell it for $650, or you want to put it in for another month?
Just a note and a thought. The longer that tank sits there, it's like a motorcycle tank. There's going to get rust inside. Once it's so rust inside, it'll be no good anymore. So it's up to the board whether we sell it for $650, get something rather than nothing.
Or, Bob, could you make a motion what you want to do?
Yeah, what do you want to do, Bob? You want to sell it for $650?
You're the better expert.
Well, put it this way. I'm going to make a motion to sell for $650 because if that's the only thing we've had after it's been in the ads for this long, rather than let it sit there, I make a motion that we sell the fuel tank for $650.
I'll second that.
Everybody second.
Who seconded it?
I did.
Well, either. I don't care.
Who's I? I'm sorry. Joanne, sorry. I can't.
You didn't give anybody else a chance.
Okay. Everybody in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Need a comment before
Public comment before we vote.
None that disagree?
Public comment.
Any public comment on selling the gas tank?
Okay, let's go.
Move along.
Okay, so that's passed. Hey, go ahead, Sheree, sell it to him for $650. Tell him to get it out of there quickly, though.
Okay. We didn't move, did we?
I just want to add that the leaf vacuum, we have not gotten any
comment before you vote on it. Not after you
comment. We comment before we voted. Now we need to vote. That's what I was.
Right. Now you got to vote. Now you just...
Right. Oh, look at the jump.
Well, okay. There was no public comment. Right?
So. And the votes are.
We had everybody voted yes. You want to vote again? Okay. Everybody voted yes. We're selling the tank for $650. There was no nays. Okay, so now we have to go for the approval of the meetings of July 27th, 2020. We need a motion to approve those minutes.
I make a motion.
Can we do them all at once?
No. I don't think you can do them. What do you say, Joanne? Keith, you've been wrong.
It's listed separately. Let's go ahead.
Okay.
If we just do it quickly, if anybody has any one thing, they just make after we get a motion and second it, just say anybody comment. If not, give them about 3 seconds.
Okay. All right.
Keith, make a motion. Keith made the motion. I'll second it.
Okay, so do we want to go for public comment?
Yes, always.
Okay, public comment. Any public comment on the minutes of July 27th, 2020?
No comments. Call for the vote.
No comment. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any that disagree?
No.
That's a none. Okay. Well,
did Russ disagree?
I agree.
Or did you answer? Oh. I thought you disagreed.
So all in agreement. Okay. You're fine.
We need to get back to it.
I make a motion that we approve the 8/6/2020 minutes.
I second.
Public comment?
Go ahead.
Call for the vote.
Okay. Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any disagree? No?
No.
Joe, okay. I just want to add, under the chairman announcements, we do have a trustee that has submitted a resignation.
Oh, yeah.
We're not there yet. Okay. I thought that was under the announcements. Excuse me.
I make a motion. We approve the minutes for 8/17/2020.
I second.
Who said that?
Bob Shortley.
That's Keith.
Bob Shortley.
Keith and Bob Shortley.
Keith and Bob again. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any public comments?
Say our name next time.
Public comments for August 17th.
Move on.
Okay. Call for a vote then. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those that disagree, say no. Okay, that passes. On to the next.
I make a motion we accept the minutes for 8/25.
I'll second that.
Okay, public comment. Any public comments on August 25th, 2020 meeting?
Secretary.
Okay, no comments. Everybody in favor, go ahead and allow in those minutes.
Aye.
Post it, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone that disagrees, say no. No, there is none. So that passed for August 25th. The next thing on the agenda is the employee reviews. Did everybody get a chance to look at the reviews?
Well, let's just say we received those only about a half hour before
the
meeting took place, which I don't understand why.
We had the reviews before.
What's that?
We had the reviews before. All we're really dealing is with the rounded up amounts for their salaries.
Right.
The reviews were all taken care of last time.
Right, yeah, we had the reviews. The money that.
With the increases?
Yeah, no. Now we have with the increases.
That's what I'm saying. We received that a half hour ago before the meeting. Did we not?
Yes.
Did everybody get this?
No.
I should have followed up more. I was gone Friday and I thought they were going to come out Friday.
And I apologize. Lori's out sick today. They should have
those were approved over a week ago.
They should have been in Friday.
You have to prioritize what work is done. Yeah. If you know that something's going to be on an agenda, it should have been prepared and sent to all the trustees long ago. Mm-hmm. Even with this, quite frankly, the thing we just approved with the pool, I had no idea that we were even thinking of anything like that. It was never discussed publicly. We had no idea, but yet we had a guest speaker.
It was in your box a week ago.
That's right. But did anything come with it? Was there any explanation?
Yes, it was a whole folder.
Was there any explanation that why we were discussing this? Could you? We should have at least had some type of briefing prior to having a guest speaker on.
Okay, I'm looking at these salary increases and stuff. All I have is last names. I haven't the faintest idea where they work or who they work for. Or I have one here at Carlucci at $18, no increase at this time, plus 50 cents equals 18.
Yeah, that makes no sense. That's what I was going
to
ask,
That too, makes right? absolutely no sense. If it's no increase, then why did it go to 18.50? And it's the same thing as down at Wood.
I apologize.
I don't even know who Wood is. Half of these people, I have the faintest idea who they are, what their first name is, where they work, or anything. So how can I vote on any of this?
Did you see the reviews yet, Bob?
No, I haven't.
Did you? Oh, okay. That's where their titles are and where they are, where they're working. And I know there's been a couple lists that have come out for hiring dates and stuff. It's quite confusing the way we're doing this.
If I don't have the reviews, how can I make
I'm going to make a suggestion that we table this to the next meeting so that we have all trustees have a complete idea of what is taking place and who it's for and whatever.
I second that.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to say that I did submit all of the reviews, the 3% increase, all at one time. So they were all together. And it showed what their job title was, job description, and everything. Yeah, Beverly has it right there.
All paper clipped together.
Yeah, we do have it.
Okay, we got a motion, or I don't know, we're tabling. Do we need a motion? My only comment about these that you may need to know, these do not quite fit under the budget, but I've been talking with Sri, and the way the employment's going to go next year and stuff, they will fit under the budget. So these raises are under our approved budget for 2021. They do fit.
And I want to just make it perfectly clear, if anyone needs a copy of the evaluations, anything like that, I have them here. Yeah, so I'll make another copy for those who haven't gotten them yet.
And the other thing I have added, Sherry's there because we had said we were going to put off her raise and stuff till this first part of the year, so all employees would have that. So that's an extra one that's in there. And that with
there's a motion on the floor.
Yeah, we're discussing. That's where these come from. I just was adding that information. So if we decide to table it or not, that's fine.
And we had the motion to table it. We're going to table it?
I think so.
I second the table. That's what we have to do.
I've seconded it. We just need a vote.
That's okay. Then vote on it. All those in favor tabling this, say aye.
Aye.
Any in this? There's a no. Who's that? No. That's Jack?
No.
And there's
All right. Tell me who the no's are.
Jack is a no.
And Bev.
And Beverly.
And I believe Russ was.
Russ, were you a no?
Were you a no?
I voted to table it. I've read them all. I know what they consist of, so therefore I don't need any more information, but I know there's folks that just came on the board that don't have that information available.
So that's 5 yeses and 2 noes, correct?
Correct. Okay, so it's tabled to next meeting.
Okay, before we go though from here, what extra information would you like on these? Would you like the reviews to come back again? Would you like the salary split up into different, their different areas of work?
Can I make a suggestion on this, the way it was submitted clerically? I got 3 different spreadsheets here. This could all be done on one. They need to be done. I would like them done by department alphabetically. They need their start date. They need their pay rate, and they need how many hours a week they work. It just needs to be done on one spreadsheet. And then if you've got to add that column, this percentage stuff versus an amount of money. I know we've got to either say percentage or we got to say cents. We can't, have both of them on at one time, it's so confusing to look at that list when you're saying 3%, but it's 25 cents, and you're saying 3% is 50 cents.
You know what?
Why? You're going to up one when they got the exact same evaluation, but you're going to give one 25 cents and one 50 cents? Does not make sense to me. These so that's the kind of thing we need to discuss, I think. So
I think the date of the date that they're hired will help you understand that tremendously. We have somebody's working almost 10 years here, making the same salary as someone who just was employed a couple of years ago.
Right.
I don't see the justification in that at all.
We need more clarification when we receive this document.
Yeah.
Sheree, and this document should have been in our hands a couple of weeks ago. I'm sorry to say that.
Yeah, I don't even have it. That's the thing.
Sheree, just get the information that people would like, and let's get it. Try to get it on one spreadsheet.
I will.
And then send it up. Okay?
Next.
That's a priority.
Okay.
I'll try to stay
you
on top.
You know what that means?
I'll
and everybody else, right. we're great. Did we? Means tomorrow, 10 minutes from now. That's what that means.
And can I interject something about Robert's Rules of Order? When you have a split vote like we had, what you need to do is take individual votes, each person, whether they vote yes or vote no. Then you'll have an exact count of who said yes and who said no. Instead of saying who said no, you take into each individual and have them vote yes or no.
Okay. Do you have that, Sheree? Because you have the two no's. You know.
You want me to go through the names? Russ Livermore. Did you vote yes or no, Russ?
Yes.
Joanne Gagan?
Yes.
Keith Richer?
Yes.
Jack Emmerich?
No.
Cheryl Moore? Yes. Barb's not here. Bev?
No.
Elias?
Elias.
Elias, sorry. Okay. And who did I miss? Oh, Bob Shortledge.
Yes.
The guy on the upper right-hand corner.
That's my the proper screen. Way.
Thank you.
Might I did have it. In there.
Oh, Joe?
I'm not gone yet.
So, well, you know what, Joe? What'd you vote, Joe?
I voted yes.
Thank you. Sorry about that, Joe.
No problem.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're on to...
So that's table. But did we do... We did that vote, but did we do the public comment before? We're always skipping that now, when we need to have the public comment before the vote. Did we ask for that?
Well, we tabled it.
Tabled, so
we didn't vote on it.
We asked for.
Well, we voted on a motion to table.
To table, not to approve.
Oh, okay.
We didn't approve anything, so right now there is no raises. Right now.
Thank you. Thank you.
So nothing was approved.
When it comes back up for vote, then we'll have public comment.
Right. Next meeting.
Okay.
You want to go on to the next one anymore? That it? Okay. The next one is number 11. I guess with this, I don't think there's anything we're going to vote on here. Palm Bay Home Sales discussion. We can talk about what happened in that meeting. Joanne, Sheree, and Joan, and the attorney for Palm Bay. Basically, what they told us was these properties are going to be listed for 30 days, and the highest bidder will get the properties.
Right.
Now, I know Sheree's gone out with this thing about make an offer of $1,000 per home. But this park has already had its dealings with being in the real estate business. I don't know that if you end up with about four or five of them, you really want four or five homes that you have to deal with. I mean, I'm not for it for me. I think because right now the way it is, if none of them are sold, Palm Bay is still going to pay our dues for the next year. Everything, I think it's about $70,000. I don't see why we want to.
I think the whole purpose, Joe, is to get rid of the derelict homes that have been here for 10 years plus.
I know they're going to go eventually. I mean, but well, why are we in a rush?
How do you figure that? If I know there's three or four that people are definitely interested in, and they're going to bid on those. But you know, my thing is at the end, when the bidding is closed on October 2nd, what happens then? If you have a bid in already, if Palm Bay accepts it, Holiday Park, this is just thinking outside of the box. If Holiday Park buys them, they get the houses removed, and then the lots are sold. It's that simple.
That's all money. You're talking thousands of dollars here.
Joe, can I?
Yeah, go ahead, Keith.
Okay, I've been here since 2006, and we've been trying to do this since 2006, so we're not in a rush.
Right. It's
the first time we've ever gotten to a point where we can do something about the derelict homes. We get complaints about them every year. I don't care if we spend some money. If we can get them
for
$1,000, we're fine. All I want to do, it's the easiest way. In fact, I would rather have us get them all because as us owners, we can just take the unit off the whole thing and upgrade our park. You know, we're always looking. That was my big thing with when people got on my case for buying some. It's like, well, we don't want it to turn into just a trailer park. The only way you can do that, people, is you take off the old units, put on the new ones.
I don't want more work. I don't want this on my plate. I don't want to be having to monitor all of these removals. But if it's going to help the park, if it's going to increase your property values, and it's going to get rid of the derelict homes, the vermin.
The thing I hate to always say is the best upgrade we ever had to this park was the hurricanes of 2005 and 2006, and that cost a ton of money. This, you know, we can just go in and take out the ones we want and get rid of them and say, hey, they're, because you can't get rid of an older home to a person who's trying to sell it if they keep it up decent.
And you have to realize, Keith.
If we can get them and say, okay, we got them, we're tearing them off, now we have empty lots, and the lots are selling. People want to come in, but we want newer homes. We want to keep the park upgraded, and that's the easiest and cheapest way we can do it.
And there's 11 more coming down the pike.
The rest of them. That's what I'm going to do it for the rest of the time. People don't pay them. We get them, and that way we can easily take off and keep the park upgraded.
Because, I agree with you, Keith, totally.
Yeah, because you got to understand, we have 700 units in this park.
And there's 11 more, Keith, behind these nine.
What I'm saying is this. If you get rid of 30 every year, it's still going to take 25 years to change all the units in this park. And so if we get rid of 30 units a year, it will take us 25 to 30 years to keep our upgrades. I mean, and so we got to be aggressive about getting rid of the derelict ones. That will be the cheapest way to do it.
We would get a clear title too if we won one, right?
No, ma'am.
No, not necessarily.
No, the only thing you're going to get if you make a bid on this, or anyone makes a bid on this, all they get is the land, clear title on the land.
And they have
to do their own research and get clear title on the building if there is one on them. Now, what are you proposing then, Cherie? That we bid $1,000 on each and every property?
I don't see what harm there is in it. I know at least three definites that people are interested in. So they
well,
don't.
Then why would we bid on them? If you
then
know
don't,
that.
Then don't bid on them. I'm just saying anything can happen. They may not accept the thousand. They may not accept the people bidding, you know.
It's not going to cost us anything if we bid on them and don't get them.
No, exactly. Just make sure that they're all sold. Anything that the state doesn't keep anything, we get them. All it's doing is giving us a minimum amount that we can get them and get them off cheaper than we were dealing before.
Right. If we had gone through with the original proposed thing with giving them 4,000. Now it's like, okay, that was going to happen, but it did change. So okay, now they're putting them in the Florida Today at October 2nd. They're going to take the bids. They don't want to go past November. Then they're going to have to pay another year's taxes.
Right. So, well, I think what everybody should know is everything is paid up on all of these properties. Palm Bay is completely in compliance. All water bills, all taxes, all liens, everything has been completely paid by them.
Yes.
So, again, when anyone makes a bid and it's accepted, they're going to get free. Not free. They're going to get complete
disclosure. There's no
title to their land, to the land. So what do we want to do here? Do we want to make a motion to bid $1,000 on each of the properties listed in the paper from Palm Bay?
I will make that motion and we bid it.
Can I just ask a question before that?
Oh, yes.
We'll discuss it after we get the motion.
Motion first.
I just okay. said we should put $1,000 on every one of them, and that's minimum. Because if anybody wants it, they're going to outbid us for $1,000 and we're not going to get it. It just covers the bases that they're going to all be gone in 6 months, I hope.
Absolutely.
I made the motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, all those in favor of
bidding? No, we got to discuss it. We got to discuss it.
Discuss it, okay.
Public comment and trustee comment.
Yes, I have a comment. I want to make sure that I'm clear on what I've read. If we would get the land and we want to refurbish the trailer, then we need to get a title. If we want to destroy the trailer and take it off the property, we do not need a title. Am I correct?
There's nothing in
that
writing.
That was my question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
One at a time.
If the demolition company, they don't require a title. Once the home is removed, there's nothing there. Therefore, right. You do not need a title.
Nope.
Now, if you were to purchase the home and you wanted to deed it to your children, you would have to have clear title. Yes. If you wanted to buy the home and flip it, you would have to have clear title.
Yep.
That's what the purpose of the clear title. However, absolutely. If there is no home on the land, you don't have to have a title.
Nope.
The only
and you don't need a clear title. When you quit claim a deed, you're saying, I give up my responsibility on it. Might be somebody in the claim.
But that wouldn't really apply, would it, Keith?
That's something.
No, it doesn't apply.
You can get a quit deed, a QUIT deed means to quit your responsibility on it. Doesn't mean past ones. That's why they want warranty deeds. Warranty deeds is where somebody comes in and says, we've looked at it and everything in the back is clear.
And there's also a thing called a retired title. But if the homes are torn down and demolished, you don't need any of that.
You don't need a title.
No, you don't need a title. You get the demo company to come in. You pay the $2,500, $2,600, depending on the lot, and just get them out of here.
Yep.
Can I ask a question? Suppose we get 7 of the properties for $1,000 each, and we want to take those homes out of here. And we do that. We have the destruction or whatever, tear them up. What if the person comes back and says, where's my house? It was on that property.
That's right.
Are we in trouble for tearing it down?
That's right.
Yep.
It was sold by the county. You lose all
property. It was sold with the land. Exactly.
They had those 3 years when they weren't paying taxes. You bought it to reestablish it. That's why you have to wait 3 years before you can call for an auction. Because you have 3 years that you can claim that I'm going to buy this because you didn't pay your stuff. That's why.
So they've given up all rights to that home, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. We're sure about this. So I learned a lawyer involved.
Well, that's what the lawyer's saying.
Yeah. So how do we go about making this bid?
Right. I have a question.
Are we going?
Hello. May I ask a question?
Wait till the board gets done. Yeah. Anybody else on the board?
My question was, how do we make the bid? Did it explain how you do it in the paper? Is it verbal? Is it in writing? How do we do it?
You can do either or. You can do a verbal bid. You can put it in writing.
I suggest we put it in writing. I don't like anything verbal.
Yeah, ours will be in writing.
I'm just saying what the paper says. I would never do a verbal on something like this.
It's not in writing and it doesn't exist.
That's right. That's right.
What are your thoughts on getting the attorney involved?
I think you have to have a real estate attorney. We can go to our attorney, but I think we need a real estate attorney. Because I did ask him that question, and he didn't answer it. So he said he didn't know what I was saying. I said it pretty clearly. I said if we just tear him off after we buy the land, he did not answer the question.
I don't think you need a real estate attorney because it's just putting.
Well, I'm just saying, go ahead and take the chance. You're taking a chance. You're just going into it blindly.
Not blind, Joe, because if they even said, come back and said, okay, we'll accept your offer, the board can always say, well, we've decided we don't want it. It's not etched in stone until you sign the paper. But again, the bidding stops on October 2nd. It's just something for the trustees to think about and make a decision at some point before October 2nd.
And there,
we would have to sign that bid. We would put in a bid, $9,000 or seven. How many homes are there? Seven or nine?
Nine.
$9,000, $1,000 for each home. Who has to sign that bid?
Excuse me, there are only seven homes listed in their ad. Only seven homes are listed in their ad. Those are the only seven you can bid on, and they tell you exactly who to send the bid to. I think it should be done in writing, and I think it should be done with the signature of Cherie and somebody, and the chairman of the board.
Yeah.
Joan McCullough. She's a community and economic development director. It all should go to her.
Understand how somebody was saying, well, we can refuse that bid. Understand the law is once you bid on something and you are awarded it, you must take it.
That's right. Well, I didn't know that, Bob.
Bob, you're saying things that Allison is printing on the chat. Is that where this is coming from?
No,
several
because
you've said have been because I'm watching her chats also.
I'm watching her chat also, but I've had these questions before because it's like an absolute auction. Once you bid on it, it's yours.
Yours, right.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I've had auctions where they offer it, and if the first person doesn't get back to them in 24 hours, they go to the second one. Whether that's
we can certainly give a call to the city and find out.
Yeah, because you go to a real estate auction and you're bidding, you're standing there with other bidders and you're bidding on it, and then you win the bid, and then an hour later you tell them you don't want it. Watch what happens.
Yeah. It isn't pleasant, but they'll go to the second bidder.
Yeah, but it will cost you money to get out of it.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
So if Holiday Park bids $1,000 per home and they get the bid, what's the problem?
There is no problem. No. We want it.
They'll turn over the property to us and we'll get it.
And we do it,
We'll file it with the county and we got it, and then we can do stuff with it.
Well, I was just saying that because somebody said, well, we can refuse it. Now, once you make a bid, you can't refuse it.
Just know that the taxes on those properties will be due come October, November.
Then we would be paying Holiday Park. The only taxes actually for each home is about $400 to $500.
Yeah.
Ad valorem taxes.
For the year.
So does that mean with $1,000 plus the taxes?
Well, yeah.
But if we get the property sold, those will be prorated. I think the taxes are up to date, aren't they?
Are up to date.
Right, because they've been forgiven, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Except for 2019.
Right.
I have a question.
Hi, Jack.
Okay. What happened to all of this info we had on quiet claims?
Quiet title.
quite a quiet title. Yeah. What happened to that whole concern that was surfacing in the last couple of weeks?
That's why, see, Jack, that's why I think we should, I know this in disagreement we have to the end of the month. I think we should get a review by a qualified real estate attorney that knows this stuff.
Quiet title is the only reason you need a quiet title is because there's nobody around disputing you or anything like that. So the courts basically say, we can get rid of the back stuff for you because there's nobody debating it.
And he has no interest in here.
But once the mobile's gone, don't worry about a quiet title.
I have to amend something. Their ad does specify 9 homes. I did. I hadn't highlighted 2 of them for some reason. So it'd be $9,000.
So all I know that the last real estate deal that you guys got into, you lost a lot of money over where Gaston's house is. Is that correct? I wasn't around then, but
that's because we invested too much.
You're not going to be around for these either, Joe. So don't worry. Well, about it.
You don't know that, but I just don't think it's a good idea for you to get into the real estate.
We have been talking about selling and buying these houses and getting this property cleaned up since before I moved to the park. And now is an opportunity to get it done, and you're backpedaling. And really, Joe, I'm not being mean. I'm not being mean, Joe. You're leaving the park, and your decisions should not be affecting our decisions right now, because you are not going to live in this park in a couple months. You've already said you're leaving.
I've lived here for 3 years, and I'll tell you, one of the things that would be my top priority is getting rid of these homes that's been here long before I got here.
And you have a perfect opportunity to do it.
Absolutely. And as somebody that lives near one of them, especially when my dog is chasing a rat that came out of one of them. She's a ratter, so she's chasing these rats to kill them, and it's like, no. You know, so there's a lot to think about getting these homes. Number one, I can't wait till they're gone.
I've been here 15 years.
Right, and I hope we do it properly, because if they don't exterminate first, the rats are coming to my house, and I don't want that. So we need to do it properly. And getting these homes, oh, my goodness. My property value would probably go up $4,000 or $5,000 more just from that eyesore that's real close to me.
And our exterminator has offered to do it for a minimal fee. I don't know if that goes for the individuals buying it.
I think we're way beyond exterminating. Let's talk about the bidding.
Yeah.
We've talked about it. Let's do public comment, I think.
Yeah, Jamie seems to have a lot of questions there.
Public make a comment.
Unmute yourself, Jamie. Okay, there you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
You can hear me?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
If you read Florida Today, because I checked into the one on Moonlight, it explicitly tells you what to do. You have to get a Florida purchase and sales agreement, and you have to submit it to a certain address by a certain date. Florida Today tells you that right in their advertisement for these 9 properties. There are nine.
Also, yes.
I think you're all forgetting about one very important thing. We can only have one home. You didn't want someone from the outside buying all these places, and yet here you are saying Holiday Park should buy all these places. How can you do that? Isn't that against our rules?
Holiday Park.
It doesn't pertain
to
the park?
No, because if that were the case, Palm Bay would be in violation as well, because they own the 9 homes.
All right. I just wasn't sure about that, because I hate that rule. I don't think it should be only one residence.
No, and
I would love to buy another place and fix it up.
Jamie, just so you know that the city of Palm Bay requested, and they have in their possession, a copy of our deed restrictions. So anyone purchasing has to also receive that, and they also know they're only entitled to have possession of one home.
Well, I didn't realize that the park was exempt from that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if we own them,
be away with them. Good, clean it up.
Know who we're selling them to.
Thanks, Jamie.
Yep.
Any other public comment?
Becky?
No, just get on with it.
Got someplace to go, Beck?
My, on with my life. Go ahead.
We need somebody to take a hold and get it moving.
Amen.
Right.
Okay, so do you want to do a vote now then? Do you want to vote on this?
Oh, no, with public comment and trustee comment, you can take a vote on.
Somebody, there's a public comment, Bob. Where are you, Bob?
Addie, Carol Addie.
I'm looking for you, sir. Oh, yeah, it's under Carol's name. Sorry. All righty, give me a little minute here.
While we're talking, though, Bob, if they tear that home out before they do the rats, you're getting a letter for too many pets.
Oh, come on.
Okay, Bob, the floor is yours.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
You know, I've listened to all of this. I've heard this for the last few years going back and forth here on the homes. And I only have one comment. I know I can't go buy one, because we already have a place, actually. But anyhow, I just think it's great that finally somebody has come along as a park manager and really got behind this and got it moving. The boards have come and gone for the last 14 years, and all that's happened is talk. So it, in my opinion, please move forward and do this. Let's get our feet wet with 9 units and see how it works out. And we'll have a better idea of what to do with the next 11 that might be coming along. That Amen. Would make over the next few years a total of 20 units replaced, fixed, whatever is going to happen. But please, let's not let it fall apart. Let's keep it going, get it done, and try it. If it does not work well, if it goes south, don't do it again. But in the meantime,
lesson learned.
Please, let's go forward after all these years and see what it's like.
Yeah. Go, Bob.
If I could, I'd put the 1,000 a piece in for all of them right now just to do it. But I can't own them, so it doesn't matter. But please, if we can, let's go forward and get this going. Get the attorney in. Just get the review. Know exactly what you're doing as far as the title on the houses. I know you're getting clear title to the land, but let's just be sure that you can get rid of the houses without having somebody come back and kick you in the butt. And please, let's just keep this going forward.
Okay. All right. Annette, do you have a question? Annette Regas. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Bob. Unmute yourself. Okay, unmute yourself, Annette.
I just want to say about how I hope this goes on with the getting rid of these homes. To think that at some point, perhaps having a committee that would address to keep this problem perpetuating through the years, such as with like Little Tina Choice House now. That is going to be the start of the new wave of abandoned homes.
That's part of the 11, Annette. The next 11. But, and what the plan is.
Also, try to have something in place so that this way, or some kind of policy or procedure, so that it doesn't happen down the road, because there's predominantly a lot of older people and unfortunately a lot that have no relatives or anyone that can take care of it for them if they pass away or go into a nursing home.
Annette, let me interject for 1 second. What the plan is, I'll make this fast. If we get these 9 homes, get rid of them, the next ones that come down the road, it's possible, I don't know how, to bypass Palm Bay. If the county would quick deed them over, I don't want to be in the real estate business at all. But I don't know how else the park is going to get rid of these homes.
Yeah.
You know, if we can get a good handle, and then when the moment we see that one, they're behind, the tax certificate is sold, the weeds are growing out of the gutters, you can get a good handle on it. That's my goal for the park, is to be able to.
That's basically what I'm saying is, right now at this point in time, you need to have somebody get an organized group of residents that have some familiarity, perhaps, with realty laws. Somebody that has the knowledge and experience prevent it from happening down the road. You know, something you can put in place so that eventually if a person says they have nobody, well, if they have no one and they should happen to pass away at 100 years old.
Sign it over to the park.
Pardon me?
Sign it over to the park.
Well, that's kind of something that a committee should be done. There should be something in place rather than it'll start in a wave. Like we've got a lot of people passing recently. There should be something in place for people that have no one, no family.
We
can
deal with what we're dealing with now.
Yes,
but of course, that would be something I would suggest, have people to address it. Right. And also, case in point, I would say that when somebody's speaking that nobody else speaks at the same time, it's quite disturbing. When you have four or five people speaking about a subject or voting, and second of all, when you all vote or second the motion, I'm sure Sherry Moore would appreciate it if they said, well, this is Ross Livermore seconding it. Some identify who you are. It's difficult
for her. Supposed to be the guy who
so.
Computers.
Okay. Let's call for the vote.
Thank you.
Bye.
So are we calling for the vote?
I would like it, yeah. If there's no other
vote on it,
that 3 minutes was that 3 minutes.
No,
yeah. I don't see anybody else.
Okay, then we'll call for a vote. You on 1,000.
Would you restate the motion, please?
The
motion
vote is,
would be.
Well, go ahead, Sheree. Then,
Sheree, repeat it.
I've got a motion that the Holiday Park makes a bid on all night homes that are advertised through the city of Palm Bay at $1,000 each prior to the October 2nd deadline.
Correct.
The motion was made by Keith, seconded by Bev. We're going to take a vote.
There's a hand raised. Wow. Allison votes.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those in disagreement say no.
Against.
That would be me. I say no. I think you should check with an attorney first. You're just by aggressing into it. It's just my opinion.
Are not saying that right now. When I asked if an attorney could be there present, and you said no.
Anyway, let's go on.
No. You need to have somebody check out these properties that you want to buy. You're going to guarantee that they're all clear and you can just
tear them off. They're owned by Palm Bay.
Yeah, I know, but they said that you need a quick title. Read the damn ad. You need a quiet title for each one. They didn't say, oh, you can just tear them off. That's you saying
that. Has been made.
That's you saying that. It doesn't say that in the ad. I talked to them. They said you need a quiet title. They didn't say, oh, yeah. Just go in and to demolish all nine homes. You and take that responsibility. Who's taking that responsibility? Who?
I'll take it, Joe, because I know how these, how to deal with these.
Then okay? you need to sign a thing with the attorney saying that you'll take all liability dealing with the nine homes. Then you personally.
Why did you get emotional?
This is being recorded. You doing that, Sheree?
Joe, I know. Yes, I know it's being recorded, Joe.
It's being recorded, and you're saying that you'll take on the liability with these nine homes, correct?
You know what, Joe? If that were the case, then I'd end up
owning, yes or no.
I would end up owning the nine homes for $9,000, okay? Then I would be in violation, all right? And then, you know what? I would remove every single one of them.
You're thinking that's not, they're not going to be any issues.
Do you think this is a joke? Do you think this is a joke? I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rude. This is for everybody's future. For their property values. You know, I'm not jumping into this blindly. You know, this is serious stuff. And to let it go again, it would be another 5 years, maybe three, two, you know, enough. That's my opinion. That's my opinion. No,
well, you had your vote, so you don't have to complain.
I'm just reiterating. That's my reason.
I'm going to get a motion on the floor.
Okay.
I did.
We've already voted on that motion. But Allison says she has her hand raised. I just saw that in the chats. I don't know where she is. Do you see it?
Yeah, she posted it. Well,
she said you didn't.
I don't even see her on here, so.
Becky is.
Rebecca.
Becky. Go ahead, Becky.
Unmute you.
Unmute yourself.
Okay. This is, you've already voted. Get on with it.
Right, yeah.
You don't need more opinions after the vote is done. Get going.
All right, listen. We're going to take Allison's comment because she had asked to raise her hand long before we had the vote. Can somebody please unmute Allison?
I can't, but I can't.
Allison, unmute yourself.
Oh, boy.
Okay, here we go. I can't see her on the screen. That's why.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yep. Yes.
Go ahead, okay. Ellen.
Everybody All else, right. Can you hear Allison?
I have a quick question. We're talking about buying these properties and tearing them off and resodding them and removing the cement. Do we know how much it's going to cost per property and where is it in the budget?
Who's going to answer that?
It's an capital improvement.
Public comments don't have to be answered. All they have to do is be listened to.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead, Sheree. I have, in the past year and a half that I've been researching, I have a bid on every single one of the 9 homes from start to finish, demolition, tropical demolition. They've done work in here for Teresa Grimes, several other owners. They very highly recommended, and the prices are absolutely wonderful. Most of them are under $2,600, and that's from beginning, tearing down the house, tearing down everything, removing the concrete. Of course, it doesn't include sodding, but this is everything, the carports, the aluminum, the concrete, and I have them right in my hand. And that's
We've talked about that at other meetings.
And that goes for whoever's going to purchase. I'll give these to them. You know, the main thing is getting rid of the homes.
Yeah. Okay. Can we go on to the next one?
Yeah.
The next one, number 12, is the contract with U.S. Lawns. I mean, I guess Sheree said she wanted to, I thought we already approved the contract.
Can I say something real quick? When Mr. Shortledge, Bob came up to me and he pointed something out and I was called out on it. And I sent everybody an email. However, this was after he had approached me. So, Bob.
When I became a new board member, I wanted to ask Sheree. I said, please give me all the information I need for upcoming board meetings so I have all the, so I can make a good yes and a good no. So she provided me with all the paperwork. And one was the U.S. lawn contract. I looked at that lawn contract and I'm like, what is all of this? When you look at the contract, they have 1 through 12. They have 3 is edging of all plant beds in concurrence with mowing. 4, the weeding of all plant beds and the shearing of quality shrubs. And I asked her, I said, please do me a favor, email them and ask them what exactly 4 and 6 mean to explanation and exactly how many times they've done that this year. Because it says here on the one thing that they would do the qualifying of shrubs and hedges once a month. Well, when she got an answer back, the answer back was, uh-oh, that was a mistake. That's not supposed to be in your contract. But it's a signed contract that they never did any of that. So then Sean or Shane said that was before him. We're like, we don't care whether before you or not. And then he said that was a mistake. And no way can they include that at the current contract price. So they were, if we wanted to include that, they wanted to up the price of their lawn. So what he did then is send us a new contract omitting all of this. So which contract? Joe had signed this one, and now we have a new one. So do we stick to the old contract, or do we stick to the new contract? If we stick to the old contract and make them do the weeding, the trimming, the shearing, I know what the outcome is. The outcome will be they will give us their 30-day notice.
Maybe a good idea.
Well, that's something else that I wanted to say is, you know, so we have two contracts with them now, one signed and one not signed by Joe yet. So I would like to see at least 60 days before each contract of the mowing is up for us to take a look at two or three other lawnmower places out there to see if we could get a better contract than what we have. So, like I said, this is totally up to the board. I'm just bringing it out there that when I looked at this contract, it wasn't adhered to the whole year that we had it.
My question is, too, the signed contract from Joe, was that ever physically mailed back to U.S. Lawns?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, they don't have it. They said they never got it from you.
Well, it was.
Of course they're going to lose it.
The thing is, we have, when we put out bids, we had said they all have to be bidding on the same thing. So if they've changed it, we've got to open it back up so the other people can bid on less too instead of just them. Or we have to stick to the new one and get everybody bidding on the same thing.
Absolutely. So what I'm thinking is maybe we should ask them for a 30-day extension on the contract of the 2020 and get some other bids on the what we want done in here and then go from there. What do you think?
I think we already have
some other bids too, but I have no problem with getting more.
Okay, well, let you do that, Bob. Then you can go out. I've already done all this, so you can go out and get some more bids.
Well, you're already experienced in it.
Yeah, I know. I've already done it. I've done all of this. I have the bids, and they're a lot higher than what you have. You want to go for a higher price?
Higher doesn't always mean higher. Could be actual, you know, you get better quality. I don't ever go with the cheapest because my father used to go with the cheapest, and guess what he got? Cheap.
Well, now that we gave them the almost $11,000 increase, now they're even with everybody else that had submitted a bid only by maybe $1,000 here and there.
So getting what last year when they did it, they knew if they come in $10,000 under, they're going to make out in the end because once the year is up, that $10,000 is automatically going to come to them. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
They also did add that they would clean the the canals once a year. They did add that.
Well, we can have a new one. I think we should, like I said, ask for a 30-day extension on their 2020 contract and get some other bids in, and then let's take another look at it. That's just me. That's just one.
So I don't know how we do this because we did approve that one. It's exactly the same one from the year before.
That's not the contract that they're going to adhere to because there's lines in there they don't want.
Right.
Their contract is only good for 30 days. We have the right under their contract to dismiss them after a 30-day notification. So their contract is only good for 30 days as far as I'm concerned, if that's what you want to do. You've got other bids. I suggest that the bids that the manager has within her file, that she give a copy of all of those to Bob Shortledge so he's brought up to date on the other two bids that we had. We didn't have a lot. We had three bids.
And then let's put it on the next agenda so we can get this done rapidly.
You can do that, and then now you will table this until we make a motion to
Bob,
table for the next meeting.
Bob, go in and talk to Laurie. I did give her copies of, I think I had like seven to eight bids. No.
Okay, are those bids recent or are they from a year ago?
They're a year old. They're a year old.
Then we have to get a hold of them and make sure that they send us a new one that's up to date.
Okay.
I have two bids that are recent along with the August 6th meeting, I think, or August 7th meeting. I have three bids from Birds, Flawless, and U.S. Lawns.
And in reality, we don't have to stop at three bids. We can get five or six.
So let's make a move. So I got like seven or eight.
The table.
That was doing it.
Joe.
So what do we want to do on
Joe?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Didn't you weed out the bids and those other ones were?
I did.
Well over 200,000.
I did weed them out. Me and Sheree went over them, and we kept the three that were, you know, below 200,000.
Well, I would move that instead of going through all kinds of additional paperwork, we work with the three that were submitted to us earlier this summer, and then we can take action.
That's Flawless, and then Bird. You know, I know Bird, both right. companies. I met with those both companies.
That sounds good.
I have a question.
Let me tell you about the two companies. Flawless is owned by one guy and his mother. So that's who you're going to have to deal with, you know. Bird is owned by a single, you know, sole proprietor. So, you know, so you got, it's going to be different structure compared to U.S. Lawns. With U.S. Lawns, we have an option to call like five people at least to put in our complaints. Now, when you go to a single sole proprietor, you're dealing with basically the one person, just so you know. I would never do it as a business person, but you wanted to go ahead and do it. It's only one phone call and good luck.
I'm just making a suggestion. That's all.
I'm just saying, I think it
better than
I did it for 6 months with all these companies.
I think if we went with somebody more local, we would have faster reaction time to complaints, and hopefully we wouldn't have as many complaints.
Yeah.
We're always going to have complaints.
Not as many. I know, Bob. That's kind of unrealistic to say that.
But let's make a motion or a table it or something so we can get on that. We'll take this up next time with more going back to the regular bids again.
Yeah, let's table it then. Do I have a motion? Just go ahead and table it.
Not well,
the only thing about tabling it is if Bob's going to look into it and present it again next week, do we need to do more than just table this? Say that we will look at the contracts again next week.
Okay. Well, since I started this, I will finish it. I will get with Sheree and see what all contracts you have down there, and maybe even see a couple other ones on my own and to bring them in and just to see what we can do to see if we can get better. Who knows? We might not be able to get any better. So hey, Bob, at least I'll do the research.
Hey, Bob, will you try to present it to us before the next meeting to vote on it the next meeting, or you'll present it the next meeting?
I'll try to have it in your boxes a week from today.
Okay. You want to do that? We can, I guess we're going to give them 30 days notice if we choose to go with another lawnmower.
That's going to cut into my fishing time, but I'm willing to do it.
You're going to have to give up a couple of passes.
Good for you.
Okay. So that's tabled, right? We're just going to table it. He's going to come. He's going to come back. Bob is going to come back with the put the information in our boxes so we can look at it and then make a decision.
We all heard that.
Yeah, like I said, we may not be able to get better, so I may come back and say, "Hey, sign U.S. Lawns." You know,
I did it for 6 months, and that was my. You know, I mean, you can go. You can go over to U.S. Lawns. They'll show you the facility.
Good enough. I'll do it. Let's move on.
Thank you. That's tabled. Okay, the next one, number 13, is the sidewalk renovation. How, when, Grant, I guess, what, Sheree, you had information on the sidewalk renovation?
Well, I'm kind of stuck here because the way
Can I just add, when we tabled something before, we had to vote on it to table it.
I don't think
now you're just tabling it?
I don't think we voted.
I mean, a motion?
I don't think we
voted. A motion to table?
Yes, you should. You should have a motion to table.
A vote on it?
I make a motion we table this until next meeting.
Keith, I second it.
Okay.
He seconds it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Who seconded it?
Keith seconded it.
I did. Whoever.
Okay, thank you.
What a circus.
Okay. Oh. Let's go on to the sidewalk. Okay, that's Cherie, please. What do we have on that?
Well, we've talked about grants. We were going to apply for that grant a couple of years, and then Hurricane Michael came. They gave all the grant money up to the Panhandle. There is a grant available right now, and that is for the removal of the homes. And that's a definite. We qualify. We just have to put an application. Now, if the park only gets 5 homes, that's $10,000. So do we apply for that grant? Do we apply for sidewalk replacement or gatehouse renovation or removal? So those are three. The one is the not a big money item, less than $15,000. The gatehouse, that's from what I have seen so far, that could be up to $150,000. Like and that. The sidewalk, that could be as much as $200,000. Now, what my way of thinking was, if we do the sidewalks little by little, we can do that in-house.
Right.
I mean, it's going to take a while.
I agree with that. For now.
I think doing the sidewalks in-house is absolutely ridiculous. One, we don't have the personnel to do it and do it properly and correctly so that it lasts forever and ever. We're not going to last forever and ever. I think you can get a grant on that. You have to look under safety. I don't think one grant has anything to do with the other grant. So getting it for the homes can't deal with getting it for the sidewalks. I think that should be looked at. And I think we should get some bids on what it is really going to cost us. I know it's not in the budget.
I have bids.
We have to plan for it. I mean, you've got $200,000 isn't going to come out of next year's budget. That's for sure.
I thought it was the one I saw was 250.
Whatever, it's 250. It's still not coming out of next year's budget. You've got a budget for it. You got to plan for it. We've got to know all the details on it. But I think you also have to start looking into grants. Now, Cherie, are you capable and have you ever done the grants before? I don't think you have.
I have applied for and have received grants. Not huge, huge grants, but yes, I have.
Okay.
From the United States.
That's good.
And now, I have proof. I have documentation.
That's good. So whatever grants you can look for and try to get us some money on it, I think that's the way you're going to have to go.
I would like some direction from the board on which one you would like to apply for a grant for. We also
have
bridges in there.
Yeah, all three.
There's all of them.
All of them. Why not?
Whatever you can get.
Get what you can get. Exactly.
Once you get the language down for a grant, you can repeat it. Grants, we talked about this bridge grant before I bought my house. It was when I bought my house, the board meetings were talking about putting the bridge over the sidewalk, the parking lot, canal, whatever you call it, ditch. It needs to be done. Sidewalks need to be done. One, we need to get bids for all of that work. And two, we need to write the grants and ask for money. And then we make the decision based on how much money it's going to cost and what we can get done first. And we also had talked about every year, Cherie, this was your idea, and I don't know why it's not in this year's budget. I asked that before. You had talked about putting certain monies every single year toward, you know, you earmark money so that you
have it
in the budget.
I have to put it on a spreadsheet. I have it.
But it's not on our budget. We can't see it. When people say, where are you going to get this money from? Had we done that on this budget, it would be there. Maybe $50,000 would be earmarked for the bridges. Maybe $100,000 would be earmarked for sidewalks. And if you get a $100,000 grant, there's your sidewalks done. So
we have to earmark the money because it will reflect in our application to the grants for the grants.
And
so
it ought to be done.
Is it earmarked in the next budget? Is it earmarked?
No, it's not. It's not earmarked on our budget, on our spreadsheet.
And Cherie, you say it is.
All we have is, no. I have a worksheet that I have worked on with, and I talked to you about a little bit, Joanne, with the roads, and you were helping. You told me that the roads were done. I was talking about putting, like, having a reserve account and then adding money in every year. And we talked about the roads. I don't know if you remember that.
What about the roads?
Well, how much money we thought we should put into and add to each year, like the pools. The pools need to be replaced. Do we put $50,000, $100,000 a year? What's the longevity of the pools? Same thing with the roof, same thing with the sidewalks and so forth.
And then my question again is, I don't have it in front of me. The spreadsheet for the budget for next year, Cheryl, you say you do. Is it? I do. Okay. And is
no? All we have is savings accounts listed. No, the reserves are not on that budget.
Okay. Well, that's what I think she's questioning. Why weren't the reserves put in the budget? Keith, can you help us out here?
The only thing I can do there. We have capital improvement at the bottom of the budget.
We always do.
I know, and that's the only thing we
have.
I was waiting for amounts that would take care of that roads, how much it would be, so we could, and then judge the number of years it would take, and then work towards that. And that's why I haven't really pushed it till I get an amount of how much it's going to cost to actually do the whole job, and then work a step on that way. And I'm hoping to.
All right. What I'm looking at on our budget line right now, balance of liquid assets, it says at the very last line, as of August, $1,313,642. Some of that money needs to be taken down and broken down into line items and earmarked for projects. And if we're saying right now, bridges, sidewalks, gatehouse, get rid of derelict homes, there's four line items right now we should divide that up into and put in. Maybe not every single dime of it, but take money out of that and mark it that this is what we're going to spend it on at some point.
I agree.
Is that how we're supposed to be doing it? Yes. Well, then let's do it.
I thought it was years ago, Cheryl, way before you were here, that I thought it was discussed publicly that we were to never try to go under, always keep in reserve at least $1 million in case of a 2004 hurricane again.
Yep.
Okay.
So
we have $300,000 there we can put in.
$300,000 to play with, and that I certainly think is something that should have been considered and should have been put into some type of line item budget reserve. We got to see it in writing. You got to put it down there.
Yes. That's what I want.
We need money for our roads again. I don't want to have to sign $2.6 million loans again.
And you're never
which
gonna
I did
have
last
it,
time.
And we're never going to have it in to pay off if it comes to $2 million. We're never going to have that. So you would have to take.
Well, that's what happened last time. $2.6 million. I know, because I had my name is on them.
That's right.
I don't want to borrow money again that much.
It's only a 2%. Don't worry about it.
Okay. So what are we doing with this sidewalk innovation motion? What are we doing here?
I think we're just going to approve the go out for these grants, right? Go out for all three of them.
Okay.
Are we going to have trustee comments, public comments?
Wait a minute. We got to do the motion first before we get to comments. So the motion, we haven't done any motion yet here, and we've already done all our trustee comments. So we got to shut up after the motion.
All right. So
the motion, are we going to expand that from sidewalk to also home removal, gatehouse, and bridge?
Yeah, Miles, put it all in.
All four of those?
Put them all in. Why not?
And the motion is going to be to approve the writing of grant for each one.
For each one.
And getting bids on all of them?
Well, I have to, because I guess you're going to need those bids to put in the grants.
Yes. So is that, that's what I'm saying. So we need, Cherie, and you've got half of that work done already because you've already got the bids to do the homes, right?
A lot of times,
so
Cheryl Moore, you just made that a very profound and explicit motion. Is that correct, Cheryl?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I make that motion, or is that too much for everybody? No, I think
it's good. We need those things done.
Okay. Okay. I'm making the motion then.
And I, Joanne Gagan, will second that.
Thank you, Joanne, for saying your name.
Public comment.
Public comment. Hold
on. Allison's got something to say. Hold on. Before she says that, when you apply for a grant, a lot of times, most of the time, they want their own contractors. They'll get their own bids. You're just applying and telling them what you need the money for. That's all I have to say.
Okay, well, do what needs to be done.
Allison?
Okay, we...
Unmute yourself, Allison.
Dan?
Oh. Unmute yourself. There you go.
Nope, it's still muted.
Oh, she's still muted.
It still went right... Okay, try it now.
All right, now with grants, each grant has a particular category. So right. If it's safety... You have to put the grant in under safety. Right. If it's removal of homes, it has to be a different issue. So, Cherie, you need to be very explicit in your grant and where you send it to. You can't lump them all together.
That's right.
Submit it into that.
Of
the
course.
We're talking
four different grants, right, Alan?
That's correct. You have to submit four different grants. And each grant has to go to its appropriate area. Like safety for the sidewalks is a safety issue. Right. If you want to do demolition of homes, you have to have that particular category or it will not be approved. The other thing is with the lawn, the new lawn crew, Bob, you want to be sure that all of those quotes that you get are to the RFPs that Cherie should have written up. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Allison.
I thought I saw Mark on there. Mark Boda.
Hang on, let me find him.
No.
Oh, there they are. No, I just saw you waving. I just saw you waving, Mark.
Okay, any other hands up?
Now that's it then? So we'll call for a vote for her.
Okay.
Get these things started. I guess all those in favor say aye.
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 Any that disagree and say no. Okay, that was unanimous. Everybody agrees with that.
Woo.
That passes. So you'll get working on the grants, and I guess Keith, you can finish us off here with the treasurer's report.
Okay, we'll try to keep it nice. Anyway, you can see this is what we usually get. It's got quite a few numbers, several pages.
Yeah.
I finally have come up, and each of the board members should have gotten one of these. It's the new kind of form I've got. Looks a little like the old one. But basically, the top line, it says Treasurer's Report for August 2020. The top number is our budget amount. And if you were looking in the report here, that's in the first column.
Yep.
Find that number in the first column under budget, and the two colored lines, which are total income and total expenses, will be that same number, because every budget that what comes in must go out as a nonprofit. So that just gives you a number we work with. So I put that in there this year. Then the next one is August. Now each month is listed. You just go over to the August month, and then you go down to the colored line. The first one is income. You go to the second to the last page. You have another colored line, which is expenses. And those two numbers are what's on here. Okay? Now, that shows you in August what happened. We, as you can see, our amount is way, we took in way less than we spent more, but that's because our income is so much more at the first of the year than it is in our last month. Okay. Now, then the last one is how we're doing overall. In those three columns, yeah, they're under year to date. You see the word year to date? That's at the very end. Those are those three columns of year to date. And those three numbers are in the colored column under income. They're in the colored column under expenses. Those are where. Now, if you want to know where those numbers come, you just look above these numbers and it tells you where those come from. Okay? Basically, as you can see, the only thing that isn't on the paper is I put in there year to date. We're on the 11th month, so we're 91.7% through the year. As you can see, our income, we've collected 97% of the amount. So we're ahead on our income. The expense is given there for the year to date. Those three numbers are in the expense row, in that colored row on about the fourth page. And then that you can see we are not up to date on the expenditures. We're behind, which is good. We don't want to be ahead of our expenses. We want to be behind it. So we're going to have some money left over this year. Okay, now the last column will used to be at the top, and now I put it at the bottom because this is the last page of the report.
I'm sure.
And that's the bank accounts. That's cash, or that's the bank assets, the liquid cash. If you turn to the last page, you'll see that number in the colored row. And above that are the lists of the bank accounts and how much is in each one. I think I'm going to keep using this form, and I think people will get used to that, where they can look this. If it gives you a really basic summary in the fact of how much our budget is, how we did this month, how we're doing year to date, and how much money we have on hand.
I think it's great. It's very good for the.
I mean, and it corresponds now with that report. And each of these titles I give up here are the title that's in the title on the left. You know, as you go down, those words should match pretty much what's in that column, and then you just find them. Okay.
Right. Very good.
I hope. But anyway, I agree that some of the lines will be over and under, but my report isn't if we're doing things right. It's my report is about what's happened in the last month or so. And this is what's happened. Even though some of it, we need to do some adjustments and things. Now, I've said next week we would do an adjustment on the sets that were over, but Lori talked to our auditor, we did. And he sent back a thing that he had just been to a seminar. And he said he wouldn't do an adjustment as long as it's a positive budget. In other words, we aren't behind the budget. We're in front of it, so that's positive. So he says, you don't need to do it. They don't really want to see it. And the thing is, as long as you know and you can explain those movement of funds, you know, sometimes. So Lori and I looked at it and we're thinking, well, if he's saying that the auditor doesn't think it's a good idea, and he's saying that he was at a seminar, we were just going to, you know, not do the adjustment, just like we haven't done for the last 3 or 4 or 5 years.
And she mentioned to me that if it was a positive, the auditor said we could leave it alone.
Yeah. The positive is no problem. It's a negative that they want you to explain.
But better. If it was a negative, you would have to.
Then you're more susceptible. You want to explain that. And Keith, said, even with the positives, though, you need to know why you moved it. Like, why did we move more into the administrative funds? Because we got rid of, you know, we can go down and say, hey, we don't have part-time help now. So we moved some of those funds up to there. And as long as you can explain that stuff, they have enough work to do. They don't want to look at the good positives. They just want to look at the negatives.
And also, could you explain to what happened with the with supposedly me asking you to transfer funds? I wanted you to bring that up.
When what?
Supposedly you got an email from me telling you to transfer funds.
Oh, yeah. I got an email from that Joe wanted me to transfer some funds into his account. Oh, No, that's just something I got. So and I talked to Joe because he called himself chairman and he called me treasurer. So I knew pretty much right away it wasn't him. And so that was just something that came in about a month ago that
it was a joke.
Yeah. Well,
funny though. That's embezzlement. It's not funny.
I didn't respond. I didn't do anything with it. Whatever.
Bob gets it.
Okay.
Maybe now is a good time for me to make a comment here.
Yes, please.
Anytime there is to be any change, deletion, addition, correction to any form or paper that is put out by the district, it is to be made only by the district. Therefore, nothing should be made by an individual other than an employee of the district, regardless of how minute that might be, whether it's a word, a comma, or anything. The district has the only authority to make those changes, additions, corrections, deletions, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's my only comment to that.
Thank you. And that's true. Anyway, there's my report. We are ahead of what we are supposed to be getting. We're behind what we're supposed to be spending, and our balance when we're done at even if they take out the next year or we transfer 100,000 every month, and they'll be transferring another 100,000 out of that. Our balance in our assets or extra or liquid cash will still be above $1 million for the year, and we have saved quite a bit of money. And our bank accounts that we pay out of are at pretty high balance too. So anyway, it'll be a good year overall.
Good. Excellent.
If anybody has any questions on this new form, they're all on, this will be after starting next month will be the form I put in front of the regular report we get, which tells.
That's good. Excellent.
Plus they will be posted. They are on our website under treasure and financial or something like that.
A lot easier to understand.
Okay.
Come on, the next.
Can I just say one thing?
Go ahead.
I would like to apologize to Annette Regis. I didn't mean to cut you off, but there was a lot of distortion coming from your computer and I didn't hear a lot of, like, so if I cut you off, I do apologize.
Okay.
Can we have a motion to accept this?
Yep, we got a motion to accept the treasurer's report.
I make a motion to accept the treasurer's report as read.
Second it.
Okay, any trustee comments? Okay, no trustee comments. Do we have any public comments about the treasurer's report?
Oh, we got one.
All right.
Mr. Regis.
Go ahead, John.
John, unmute yourself.
John, you
okay,
need to unmute.
Wait, you're good.
Nope, hold on.
My gosh.
Okay, there you go.
I have no idea what's on the treasury report. The your trustees do, but none of the people do. How can we decide on what our comment's going to be or not? We have no idea what the balance is. We don't know what you pay for this, what you pay for that. You have the papers. We don't get anything.
You get a website.
On the website.
On the website.
Okay.
Or come up to the office and I'll print you out a copy.
Okay.
Never mind.
And it's posted on the bulletin board.
Okay. Any more public comments?
Mm-hmm. Just like he knows better too.
No more public comments. We can... we go for a vote then to accept the.
Where?
We have a motion to accept it, the treasurer's report.
We did that already. We're for the vote.
Oh, we just have to vote then. All those in favor of accepting the treasurer's report say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those who disagree say no.
No.
Oh, well, we have, okay.
One. That's Sherry Moore saying okay. No.
All right.
right, so we can finish up here. I don't know if we have any more public comments. We kind of went through all that with every issue. I guess if we had one from John. Any more public comments?
Becky's got her hand up.
Okay, Becky.
I think that these meetings need to be a little more defined than what they are. People are speaking over top of each other. There's things in the background that we can hear. It's just to discuss something, and then when you go to vote, don't give more opinions. Vote on it. It's just, this meeting was silly. That's enough said.
Okay. Any more public comments?
Mark Boda? Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yep.
I just have a question on this, evaluations and the pay raises. I thought a few months ago that when the budget was coming out and they talked about the pay raises, all the pay raises were going to be done at the same time in October, and it was already budgeted in the budget. So I guess I'm not understanding what it is we're discussing again as far as evaluations and pay raises again.
I can comment a little bit on what I meant is when I budgeted the salaries, I budgeted enough that Cherie or the board could give up to a 3% raise or whatever. In other words, we don't have to give that. We do an evaluation. I just put it in the budget that it would be covered under the budget. It was so not right now in October. We are making the Shree's made the recommendations. I have made recommendations, and now the board's got to vote on that. We will do what she recommended.
So this is okay. So this is not another.
No, it's not another pay raise.
No, it's when I make the budget out, I try to leave enough in there to do what we can do, whether we do it or not. That's another thing. But at least
that's why now you're looking at evaluations. We
have all the evaluations and everything, and we've got the Cherie and my whatever recommendations for them. We just have to agree with her and say, okay, let's do that for salaries. So
thank you.
Yeah.
And just for further clarification, Mark, those increases do not go in until October when the new budget does go into effect.
Okay, we have Allison's got her hand raised.
All right. Go ahead, Allison.
Okay. I just have one question for the board, and it's just a suggestion. Since there's so much confusion and people are stating about confusion, would it help if we gave the board a Robert's Rules reference sheet? So therefore, every board member would have the same information, know the same procedure, and know what has to follow what. Just a suggestion.
Thank you.
Okay, good idea.
Thank you.
Any more comments? Okay, if we move on to any trustee comments?
Go ahead. Well, I'll go first. Mine is basically, we kind of discussed this before about the new trash pickup.
Yeah.
You notice they put in now the trash picking up twice a week and thing. From looking at the cost, that is it's going to cost us more than $2 every time they pick up one of our trash bags.
Right.
And the trucks are not good going over our streets because they're heavy and more traffic. And I've talked to Shree about it, just and she said, Cheryl, did you look into that at all? Is there any way?
I called a councilman twice, three times I've talked to a councilman, and he said basically there's nothing we can do about it. The city of Palm Bay signed that contract. The only thing he thought, and I did bring this up at the meeting before, but everybody said no, was that if we might be able to do a deal with it's not waste management, whatever the name of the trash removal people are, to have a dumpster put on our property. But if we do that, we would be responsible to take our trash to that dumpster. And then also, I said, well, that would eliminate trucks on our roads, but it doesn't eliminate double the amount of money that the city of Palm Bay is charging us. And there's he said, you can't.
What you're saying is, whether we do this or not, they're going to charge us for the pickup.
Yes.
Right. Yes. And I said, well, they could put our addresses in. And he goes, because they're not going to do different billing for you guys. That's what he said. I go, it wouldn't hurt to ask. All they got to do is put our addresses into the database and only charge them half the rate. But he said that is not going to fly. Because if you do that, everybody else is going to want to do it.
Well, the thing
so is, the city has basically done this. I feel they didn't listen to the people of the city of Palm Bay, but it is what it is. And I don't know any other way around it. I've asked twice. We could go to a council meeting and make it public known, but I don't think we're going to get anywhere.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Yeah, sorry.
I have a comment. We did not receive, and we will not, we didn't receive a manager's report, and that'll be given at the next meeting. But Cherie did send all of the trustees a list of follow-ups that she'll be doing. What I'd like to see on the next agenda, Joe, is a follow-up and the bids for the trees to be trimmed.
Okay.
It was my understanding we did not have the money in the budget now to do it. And so I thought that was put on the back burner a little bit. It should not be. We will be going into the new budget in October. So I'd like to see those bids brought to the next meeting and get something moving on that. That's way overdue and long overdue. And then there are those 10 items that Cherie said she will be following up on. So I hope we'll have a complete update on that at the next meeting.
Okay.
I have two proposals for the tree trimming. I'm waiting for one more.
That's good. We'll have it for the next meeting.
Yeah, I have an appointment with him Wednesday.
Good.
Thank you. Also, there was a previous item, and I thought Joanne had put it on, was supposed to go on this agenda. It was mentioned before about clearing the ditches and the grates. We were supposed to have something on that. Were we going to talk about that?
That's one of the items that Cherie put in her 10 items that she's following up on. As I said, was number four. So ditch, grate, canal, and drain cleaning. So she'll have, I guess, a complete.
I will. We've come a long way in the last week and a half.
Right.
Bob has been very instrumental.
And anything on that list that requires a bid, let's make sure that it's on the agenda. Let's make sure it's put on properly, that we vote on it, and let's see if we can get some of these things moving and done. And also, I don't see it on here, but where do we stand with restriping at the gatehouse and the pavement within our community? That was always done in the summer months when we didn't have to go through the rainy season in September. So we're behind in that as well. So all of those things have to be addressed and considered for next year to be done at the proper time.
And we need to also talk about the compound roof. We're going to have to probably.
Well, that's part of her follow up.
That's one of the 10. Okay.
And that's when you're going to need bids on.
Yeah. All right. Oh, also one thing I wanted to mention, Cherie, if you could get Barbara's signature on her resignation letter. So I don't know if Tallahassee will accept it with just a printed copy of her signature.
We shouldn't accept it without a signature. We don't know who wrote that letter.
All right.
Could have been Frank. How do we know?
All right, we need that sign.
You need an original signature on everything, and that copy goes up to Tallahassee, yes.
Right, so we need
also, it said she resigned as assistant treasurer, but not as a trustee.
Well, that's going to have to be confirmed then.
Clarified, yes.
Right,
yes.
Right. No, you're absolutely right.
And it should be dated. It's not dated at all.
I think
it is not dated. She has in the body, she said she's resigned as of September 8th, but that letter is not dated. I received it in my mailbox today, and I took all my mail out yesterday. So between yesterday and this morning at 9:30, that was put in my mailbox.
Well, so they need to be stamped in when they get when they receive them. Then
so I don't know who put it in there. That's the whole thing.
I just got it today. I just printed it out today.
All right. Well, get them from now on. We got to get them in there as soon as possible.
Well, it's an email from Bev, which is why it doesn't have a. I mean, from
well, you could stamp it in though. When you print it, you could still print one, stamp it in, and then make your copies for the trustees. You could stamp it in with our stamp, Holiday Park received. That's all.
Right. Need an original signature on it.
Now we need the original signature. We agree on that.
So we're not accepting that resignation.
No. I guess not at this point. We need the original signature.
And we need clarification on what she's resigning
That's
from.
True. Like that too, Sherry.
But she needs to do it over again.
Yeah, do it over again. She's resigning as treasurer and trustee from the board of trustees at Fort Mountain Holiday Park, like that.
So redo. Okay. Can I make a motion to adjourn?
No.
Well, we're not done yet.
No, they got it.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jack. Jack.
I have a concern when we're talking about confusion. I'm wondering when the board does motions, approves and seconds, et cetera, and it's, kind of like marching orders for Cherie from the board. I'm wondering why, for example, we got an email from Joe saying that Cherie should not be calling the attorney anymore. Relative to these homes, et cetera. I don't think that that's a unilateral decision that's made. I think the board makes decisions, and I think that should need clarification.
So you want to, let me get this straight. So you want to vote on it?
If she should still,
in other words, she can call whenever she wants.
Well, we have board members who called Carl Bone whenever they want.
Well, they shouldn't have. They shouldn't have. And when that happened, when that thing happened about asking if you could get rid of me as the chairman of the board, can Joe fire the manager? Did you read the three questions that I sent you? And also, the other one, could you reorganize? They all had to do with me being the chairman, and that cost us $600. So that's why I came out at that time and said, no more calling the manager unless the board agrees. I mean, the lawyer, unless the board agrees. That's all.
Joe, I just want to throw something in there. I wasn't able to get your email from my iPhone onto my email. I never called Carl. Carl called me.
Okay.
So
well,
I did not make any calls to him.
So why would he be calling you?
Why don't you ask him?
Oh, okay. I will ask him.
No,
then.
He called me and he asked me what was going on with the 9 homes. He was aware of the situation. He had seen the ad. He called me, and I spoke to him.
He didn't say that in the email he sent back to me. But I don't want to get into this tit for tat stuff.
It's a reality. I did not call him.
Well, he didn't say that.
Well, I'm telling you.
Hey, people, let's talk about that later. Let's talk about now who can call the lawyer. I know when I was there, I didn't really get a vote on it, but I got kind of a consensus that the chairman and the district manager should be able to call the lawyer, any time they feel it's necessary. Now, we can look at what they're calling them about. But other people, even other board members or other people, they can call the lawyer anytime they want. However, whether the board will pay for that call is something the board would have to vote on, because I don't think there's any way we can stop somebody from calling, but we don't have to back it if we think it's frivolous.
No.
However, if somebody calls and it's a good point, I can see where it could be out in front of the board and say, hey, we'll back this. But I would think that the district manager, who has to make decisions every day, can't wait for every 2 weeks to see if she can call the lawyer about it. And I think the chairman needs to be able to call it so he knows what's going on if he wants to be. you know, and we can, as board members, we can always visit the district manager or and probably not the chairman to talk to them about, well, we're worrying about, we're wondering that's about this. And then it would go through that way. That's what I, that's the situation I would like to see with contacting the lawyer. In other words, we got to have two different people that to can right. do it and that, control the others. And then we can, if other people want, they can come to the person they want. They can go to the chairman or they can go to the district manager and say, hey, what about this?
No, I have no problem if you feel that it needs to be done.
More than this last situation.
We just want to keep the cost of the lawyer, because at one time in the park, we had like $20,000 attorney fees. You know, just trying to keep the cost down.
Yeah, that's why I had said that 5 or 6 years ago. Let's just, anybody can call him at once, but the board decides whether we're going to cover that cost, except for the chairman and the district manager.
Okay.
90% of their calls are not going to be big items.
Okay. All right. If that's,
I mean, I'd like to have somebody else comment if that's the kind of a thing, a policy we'd want.
Yeah, but it has to be, if you call the attorney, and if you're me or the manager, it has to have something to do with the running of the park and not any personal stuff.
And we can always look at the bills when they come back, and if we see Sheree is making too many calls that haven't to do with the park, you can take care of it. You know?
Okay.
We'll be able to look at what the calls were for.
All right.
But I don't want her or the chairman to feel that I don't have except to do it. People on the board, I would like them to say, okay, we'll go through these people, okay. But if they just don't take it on their own to call them up, they need to be careful what they're asking.
I think they got to run it by the board. I don't think you got 9 people on the board. We don't want, you know, 8 of them calling their attorney.
No.
I'm just...
Are there any other trustee comments? Let's get on with this and finish.
Time to leave.
Yes.
Any other trustee comments, though?
No.
Okay, that a motion to adjourn, then.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll make a motion. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Nobody wants to stay, right?
No.
That's a no.
Done.
Done. See you guys later.
Hey, I have a question from the audience.
Oh.
How'd you sneak in there, John?
You were supposed to come in at public comment.
Wait a second. Let me unmute you. Unmute yourself, John. Okay, there you go. Hang on. No.
Keep.
There you go.
Okay, try again.
You're on. Go ahead, John.
Okay, I have some comments and concerns with U.S. Lawns, not in their budget or any of that stuff, performance. I've noticed that the areas nearest the clubhouse and the guard gate get a lot more attention and are trimmed and cut, you know, very, very well. But the farther you get away from that area, they're not doing a very good job at all, in my opinion. And I would be glad to, I live at 425 Holiday Park Boulevard. I'm home 95% of the time. And I would be very happy if one or all of the board members would take 10 minutes and stop by, and I will show you what's not getting done. Mm-hmm. And my frame of mind is, we pay our assessments. You pay the U.S. Lawns out of that. And I don't think we're getting our money's worth, to tell you the truth.
I hope they shut it off after him.
When they first started doing this, I talked to some of their employees, and they told me that their goal was to cut the entire park in one day.
Well, that's...
Now we have one team coming in here every week, and they're supposed to do it in 4 days. This is from them. I don't know what their employees don't or do know, but I don't think they're First of all, was there any advantage to them cutting back from the four or maybe even sometimes five crews out here to one? Are you folks aware of that, that that's been done?
We're done.
But okay, this meeting is really over. We'll have to address that at the next meeting.
We'll talk about it.
Right. We've adjourned.
John, give Mr. Shortledge a call. He's on the board. Bob, would you mind?
What's his address again?
Mr. John Sutherland.
425.
John, what's 425?
Yeah.
Got it.
All right.
425 Holloway Park Boulevard. See you guys later.
Bye. Thanks,
bye.
Guys.
Bye-bye. Thank you.